Well, good morning, and it is great to see y'all here today. It is great to see you here. And we had such a great worship service with the prayer and the communion that I could sit down and stop right now. But I'm a preacher, and I can't do that. I can't do it. Besides, there's no Saints game today. So we can be here for a while without interrupting anybody's day. Well, it's finally here. The day we've been thinking about, the day we've been talking about, the day we've been praying about for the last several weeks, National Back to Church Sunday. And if you're here today because somebody invited you to be here for this, or because you saw something online about it, let me tell you, you are our special, special guest. We are honored by your presence here. We've been praying for you. We've been praying that the Lord would bless you. We've been praying that the Lord would open your eyes to and your ears to hear his call. And let me say something else to the rest of you people here who are here every Sunday. This is true. I consider myself to be blessed. Far beyond anything that I deserve, every time I walk into this building and find you here gathering with joy because you're going to be worshiping the Lord and because you're going to be with one another. That joy is a blessing to me, and my heart is full. So, National Back to Church Sunday. If it's been a while since you've been to church, it's a great time to start over, a restart, a fresh start, with no judgment here at all. Or maybe you've really never been much of a church person. But today's a great, great opportunity to begin exploring, or maybe even to begin what will be the greatest and most rewarding journey that you will ever make. A journey that will take you right from where you are, because God will take you right where you are, no matter where you are. And then that journey will take you right into the throne room of the very God who spoke this world, this universe, into existence. But as awesome as that is going to be, it gets even better. Because when you get there to the throne room of the Almighty God, that same God is going to step down off of his throne. He's going to sweep you up in his arms. He's going to kiss your tears away. And he's going to say, "My child, welcome home." Is anybody here ready for that journey? Man, I hope so. I hope so. Now, it is a joyful journey, but it's not an easy one. It's not an easy one. I said that journey starts with God taking you right wherever you are. You've heard this before. He loves you too much to leave you there. He won't leave you where you are. There's going to be a lot of work done on our hearts, on our minds, on this journey. A lot of changing is going to be needed. And you might ask, changing into what? Well, hang on, we're going to get to that in a little bit. Whoever invited you here today is on that journey, and they want you to come with them. To come with them on that journey. To walk with us on that journey. Now, I know that sometimes churches have gotten a bad reputation. Maybe a reputation about perhaps being more interested in your money than in you. Anybody ever heard that? Or maybe bad reputation about being really proud about how good we are. Or maybe 100 other different things that have caused the church to have a bad reputation. And maybe those bad reputations, some of them have been true and deserved. And maybe those bad reputations among churches have kept some of you away from church. Or maybe you've even been hurt directly by the church. I'm not here today to defend anything like that. I'm not here today to do that. There's been lots of failures. And if that has happened, and you've been hurt by a church, I am sorry. I am sorry that that has happened. But when Jesus set up the church to carry on the mission of declaring that God's kingdom was here, he didn't intend for any of that to happen. Isn't it strange? Isn't it weird how people can mess up good things and mess it up so completely and so quickly? One reason I think that people end up messing up the church, and this is probably just only one of many reasons, but one reason I think is pride. It's pride. Sometimes we in the church think we know more. Sometimes we think we can accomplish more. Sometimes we think we deserve more. Sometimes we just think we're better than other folks. And that's a problem that's been with the church for a long time. Pretty much back to the beginning of the church. It's even been a problem for God's people even before the church started. But that's maybe a story for another day. Before he became a believer, there was a guy called Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. We know him now as Paul the Apostle. But before then, Saul of Tarsus, he was a guy who struggled with pride. Well, maybe struggling with it isn't the right word. Maybe he reveled in it. And it was because, quite frankly, he was better than pretty much everybody else. He was smarter than everybody else, pretty much. He was better educated than pretty much everybody else. And he was better at meticulously checking off the checklist of all the requirements of the law. And better at patting himself on the back for being such a good list checker. Old Saul of Tarsus, he figured that God was pretty lucky to have him on his team. And you know what? It's one thing to say that out loud if you're Saul of Tarsus. Another thing to think that out loud. It's something else entirely to write it down. And that's exactly what Saul did. Paul wrote it all down about how great he was. And we can read about it now, 2,000 years later. Look at what he wrote. I have many reasons to trust in who I am and what I have done. Someone else may think they have reasons to trust in these things, but I have even more. Oh, Saul, man. Saul's overflowing pride even drove him to attack and to persecute people who believed in Jesus as the Son of God. And that was the way he lived. That was the way he lived until the day he actually encountered the resurrected Jesus. And that encounter left him temporarily blind. Y'all remember that story? Left him temporarily physically blind, but it opened his spiritual eyes so that he could see. And what he could see was that none of this lifetime of meticulous rule-keeping and list-checking had brought him close to God. The next couple of verses after this verse here is Paul's resume, Saul's resume, all the great things that he had done. And I recommend that you read that later on today if you get a chance. But after listing his great accomplishments and his great resume, look at what he said. This is after he's seen the resurrected Jesus. Those things, my resume, were important to me, but now I think they are worth nothing because of Christ. Not only those things, but I think that all things are worth nothing compared with the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of him, I have lost all those things, and now I know they are worthless trash. This allows me to have Christ and to belong to him. Now I am right with God, not because I followed the law, but because I believed in Christ. God uses my faith to make me right with him. Paul got cured. Saul got cured of that pride. And by the way, after that happened, after Saul got cured of his pride, he changed his name to Paul, which means what? Y'all know this. It means little. Paul means little. He changed his name to Paul. This right here that we just read, that should have been enough to get rid of all the pride in the people of the church forever. And to the extent it didn't, shame on us. Because everything in and everything about the church, and everything in and about us who make up the church, is supposed to be all and only about Jesus. Amen? Paul tells us that being right with God has nothing to do with law keeping. That sounds strange, doesn't it? That sounds weird. Maybe something that has kept you from coming to church or coming back to church is a sense that church is all about a big bunch of rules. We got a big bunch of rules at church, and you're in trouble if you don't keep all of those rules perfectly. No. Being right with God comes from this. Believing in Christ. Or faith is another word for it. Faith. Simple, right? Believe in God. And that's it. Well, maybe there's a little bit more to it than that. Here's what a guy named James had to say about that. And James wrote a book in the Bible. And James said this: you say that you have faith, for you believe that there is one God? Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. Can we all agree that we need to have something more to our faith than what the demons have in order for us to be right with God? Can we all agree with that? Well, maybe it lies here. The faith that is good and helpful not only tells us that, yes, there is a God, but it also opens our eyes to the reality that we have not been living the life that God requires of us. That's what happened to Saul when he encountered the resurrected Jesus. And Saul saw in him, the resurrected Jesus, the holiness of God. Besides which, all the Saul's rule-keeping, as good as it was, and it was better than anybody else's, is better than yours, way better than mine, all of that was totally worthless. Faith that is good and helpful introduces us not only to the God who rules this universe, but also introduces us to our own sin and guilt and need for salvation that we cannot possibly provide for ourselves. Faith that is good and helpful turns us away from ourselves and any thought of saving ourselves. It turns us to Jesus and to the work that Jesus has already done, to the grace that he offers us. And that's it. That's it. That's it, you ask? Well, that's the start of it. That's the start of it. Here's the theme verse that all the churches in this country are using today that are participating in National Baptist Church Sunday. This is the theme verse. Let your roots grow down into Him, to Jesus. Let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong. For strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Let your roots grow down into Him, down into Jesus. Growing is not something that happens instantly, is it? Growing takes time. Growing is a process. And maybe you've noticed this tree that's behind these words on the slide here. Here's a better picture of it. This tree started off as a tiny little sprout sticking out of the ground. But now, look at it. This tree is seriously rooted, wouldn't you say? In fact, it's kind of hard to tell where the tree ends and the roots begin, or where the roots end and the tree begins. That's the idea that Paul, once again our writer, these words here, was trying to convey in this verse. Let this process happen in your life. This process of growing your roots down into Him. Let that happen. Help it to happen in your life. It will not happen on its own. It won't. There's got to be some intentionality on our part. And that's why the church is here. The church is where nurturing and feeding and watering and all the other things that make growth possible happen. The church is where, as our faith grows, we begin to see the relationships that God has always longed for us. Relationships, us with Him and us with each other. That's where those relationships begin to grow and flourish. The church is where we will grow confident in His love for us and in His love for His family. And the church is where we will begin to understand the roles that He wants each of us to carry out in His kingdom so that His family will grow. The church is where we realize that God has got plans for us that go far beyond simply a ticket to heaven someday. The church is where each of us love each other so much that we help each other. We pray with each other. We work on each other in humility. And as we keep on doing all this, and as we keep on doing all of this, change starts to happen. Remember when we asked very early on in this sermon about what all that work and all the changes that God is planning to do on us, what that's going to change us into. Well, here it is. We don't stop working, and God doesn't stop working until Christ is formed in you. That's what church is all about. That's why God wants you back in church. That's why we want you back in church with us. So that we can help Christ be formed in you. And so that you can help Christ be formed in us. Our goal is this. Letting our roots grow down into Christ. Building our lives on Him. Growing our faith strong in the truth until Christ is formed in us. Until we overflow with thanksgiving instead of pride. Until our roots are so firmly set in Him that it's hard to tell where we end and Christ begins. Don't you want to be a part of a church like that? It's going to be an awesome journey. It's going to be an awesome journey. It's going to be better with you with us. Let's stand and sing.